Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. It's great to be with you guys today in beautiful southern Las Vegas, and I'm just going to get straight to it. So, CK, what do you got for us today?
Well, hi, Brian. It's really good to be here today, and I love it in Las Vegas. I have to say, if you don't live here, you should. Oh, okay, I'm joking. Anyway, I have been thinking about the angel that was in the kitchen last week. I saw an angel in the kitchen last week.
Okay, what was that about?
I didn't really share that with anybody much. It was on my mind today. After we did the podcast a few weeks ago about the rod in the ear, what it was called, Stick It in Your Ear, I believe it was
right.
Episode number 5. Is that correct?
That sounds right, yeah. That's correct.
Well, the Lord, well, I'll share about that in a little bit. But since we did that episode, there has been a lot of third heaven angelic activity in our home and in our services and actually everywhere we go. It's like you can't swing a cat without hitting an angel or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to point out it was already happening before too, so it just brought it up another level is what you're talking about.
Absolutely. It's been intensifying. The interaction of heaven with earth, and the Lord is actually superimposing heaven. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but I want to tell you about the angel in the kitchen.
Okay.
I was talking, and I've got my air quotes going on here. I was talking to Kathy Walters by messenger on the internet a couple weeks ago, and we were just discussing a few things and what the Lord was doing and possibly, you know, when we could have her come back to Las Vegas and minister here. I think it would be a blessing to a lot of people. She ministers on how to walk and live in the glory, in the supernatural realm. And she knows a lot about angels, and I know it's really interesting to a lot of people. So we were just chatting there, and a couple hours. And so after that chat with Kathy, the next day when I got up, I went out and sat at the table. And do you remember when I said, Brian, there's an angel in the kitchen?
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. That I was kind of shocked. It's been a while since I like seen something that, clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like in my peripheral vision. Just like I've said, that's happening with Kathy. Every time I'm with Kathy, that happens that way. It's like in my peripheral vision. I see an angel, and then when I like, it's like trying to look at a star. You know, if you look directly at it, sometimes you can't see it very well.
Right.
But it sort of like look away a little bit, and it's in your peripheral vision.
Yeah, which in fact, I mean, in astronomy classes, they'll even teach people in order to see certain constellations and stars in the sky, they actually have you not look at it, but kind of like look away and then try and catch it in peripheral vision.
Do they really?
Yeah, they really do that. And so
that's not
that's
just...
When I took astronomy, yeah,
so
it was at
thing.
The planetarium
real...
and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So that is a thing.
So heavenly beings, apparently, of some sort.
Right.
It shows up in your peripheral vision. Well, I saw this angel in the kitchen, and I thought of my imagination, so I turned and I looked, and I couldn't see anything. So then I looked back at what I was doing at the table, and there it was again. Pretty tall angel. And this one was dressed in white. And usually when the angels show up like that, it's for a reason. There's something's happening, some kind of shift, some kind of message. Because mm-hmm. they're always interacting with us. But when there's specific times when they're manifesting on purpose for a reason. And so I was like, okay, Lord, what's up? What's up? because I could just feel the glory fill the house. And so I must have looked over there about 4 or 5 times just to check. And that angel was there for a while.
Mm.
And then I would make a joke. Oh, Lord, while that angel's there, would you please have him do the dishes? I mean, aren't they supposed to be servants to those that are heirs of salvation?
Make yourself useful in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, since you're there. Yeah. But I imagine they have bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. Speaking of being in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But I was asking the Lord, okay, so what was that about? Mm-hmm. It wasn't any actual interaction. He just showed up and hung out there for a while and then left. And the Lord had me thinking about that podcast that we did, actually the dream that led to the podcast we did. And I wanted to kind of follow up on that about the rod in the head.
Yeah.
Which was also, called Stick It in Your Ear. And then share the dream I had right after that angel was there. These angels are bringing messages or preparing the way or letting you know, like heralding something that's coming, shifting in the atmospheres, etc. Let me quickly recap the one about the rod in the head, because I've been referring to that recently and there are people that haven't heard it. And so they're like, what's that about?
Okay.
In this dream that I had in March of 2015, in the dream, we had these devices that were rod-like cylinders that could be inserted in the right ear, and they would go into your brain and kind of like meld with your brain. And while it was in your head, you could interact with heaven. You could, when it was done right, it actually made time stop.
Hmm.
Time stood still. And it opened up another dimension for you to be able to actually see and interact with. And it superimposed it right over the natural realm. So whatever you're doing, you could see in both realms at the same time. At least I could, because I noticed in the dream, other people had rods like that, but theirs caused them to do different things. So apparently it had to do with, well, the Lord told me it was a rod of authority. And like he gave Moses, a rod when Moses said, I can't do this. When he told him to go bring his people out of Egypt. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He said, I can't do this. I can't speak. Boy, have I said that to the Lord a few times. Have you heard me try to preach, Lord? And he said, well, stop trying to preach. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just talk. Okay.
Right.
I can do that. So he told me, like Moses, he'd given us a rod of authority. He'd given everyone a rod of authority that has to do with their gifting, their anointing from God. And so the thing that people would experience when they put that rod in their head was different from person to person. It varied. They had the common denominator of it. Oh, like what do you call it? Superimposing their gifting over whatever's happening.
Yeah.
They were able to operate in it and be very anointed and effective. And in my case, I could see into both realms. And it took me a while to figure out that not everybody could do that. So, and that in the dream, the Lord is showing me this happening back in the 70s, like when we first got saved, and everybody was all excited, and they were starting to find out about spiritual things and how the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit operate. And so they're trying it out. We're going to practice. We used to do that too. We used to actually get together just to practice.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Words of knowledge. We'd have a person stand up in the room, and then we would all pray and ask the Lord to show us things. And we would pick up on what was going on and ask him, is that what's happening? And then we pray for him, obviously.
Yeah.
Not leave him that way. But we had a lot of practice sessions. It was fun and very helpful. But we always had the rod in our head. And then when you'd leave there, or a ministry situation, or church, or wherever it was you were ministering, we take the rod out of our head and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to talk about the 80s. I did that. And if you want to hear about that stuff, go back and listen to Stick It in Your Ear.
Right.
About the glory that kind of lifted off the earth a little bit. And then the Lord said that he was sending back the glory in this decade.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in a greater measure than it's ever been. Probably since Jesus was on the planet. And even then, it wasn't global. This is going to be global. It's already begun. And then I even heard Bob Jones talking about that.
Right.
How the Lord said that it was.
I heard that too.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the details about it? You want to look it up? Can you look up something there, or do you have access?
Yeah, I might be able to. Go ahead.
He was talking about that, how the glory had lifted for a while. And then the Lord said he was preparing to, the glory was going to touch back down and revival was going to hit this planet.
Right. And basically, because you're right, exactly what you're saying, and kind of like it's going to be in the youth starting in like the revival. I mean, it's coming back in, the mm-hmm. anointing, but the real big revival, according to him, was supposed to hit with the youth around like the year 2020 or so.
With the youth.
Or later. Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be everybody, but that would be like a big part of it.
The part about the youth. Because the Lord, and that goes along with how the Lord shared with me, actually, repeatedly in these dreams, about how he's not done with the boomers, and that the revival that's coming, the boomers are the ones that are going to experience it first. And I know that obviously everybody's getting to experience it, but maybe the issue is the boomers are not left out. Their day is not over. He's not done dealing with this generation, and they're a waylaid generation, and there's a heart cry there,
mm-hmm.
saying, I'm not done yet. I'm not ready to get old. I have this dream in my heart that God put there years ago. And that it's not right. It's not righteous for me to get sick or old. I'm not ready to get old. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready to retire from the things of God. I'm waiting for my promise. I'm still waiting for my promise.
Right.
And it's in our DNA. And the Lord knows that. And he's bringing kingdom justice, but it's a covenant thing to him. He cannot lie. That's one thing God can't do, is say he's going to do something and then not do it. He cannot lie, period. And the only thing that can stop that from manifesting is the people that don't believe it or won't receive it. But he will keep his word.
Yes.
Can't lie. It's available. Even if they don't receive it, he will dispense it. And I want people to catch that. It is dispensed to them. Even if they're saying, well, it's not happening in my life, how about pray? How about open your heart to it? Because God's keeping his word to you. And I'm saying that because I feel that. Right now, someone out there is saying, well, how come it's not happening for me? It is. It's completely available. It's already happening. It's ratcheting up. The Lord is saying, what about your heart?
And realizing how to put yourself in a position to receive.
Exactly.
As you would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a position to receive and allow yourself to be encouraged again. Because people lost hope. They lost courage. They got discouraged over the years. Because it just seemed like the things that their hearts were longing for wasn't, these things weren't happening.
Right.
And so, like, was that just my imagination, or was that just some cruel trick, Lord, that, you know, you said you're going to do this and this, and now 20 years later, it looks worse than ever? And Well, ask Abraham how that feels, you know? He knows how that feels.
Yeah.
God can't lie. And so open your heart and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive it. Because it's a covenant thing. He won't lie. He's keeping his word. And there's so much writing on this right now. Because unless the boomers take their position, receive their inheritance, and start doing what they're called to do on this planet, the kind of revival that God wants to pour out can't happen. Because things must be done according to kingdom order.
Yeah.
You can't pass on an inheritance that you don't have. If you didn't receive your inheritance, mm-hmm. how do you pass it on to your children or to the next generation?
Yeah, good point.
So, if you haven't received it yet, now's your time. Now is your time. Boomers, now's your time. Not only that, but the next generation, and what do they call the next generation?
After boomers, you mean?
Yeah. Was it busters?
I think so.
The baby busters. Uh-huh. And then after that was X.
Used to be Generation X, but now...
Have they renamed them?
Well, now they're starting to go with millennials, but that is kind of something different, kind of
Isn't
crosses
that
in between.
Newer, sort of?
Yeah.
Okay. Well...
But anyway, you could go with... you could probably go with baby boomers, and then you could go with... What would it be first?
Busters.
Busters, then yes. Generation X.
That would be sort of your generation, busters.
I guess, yeah.
I was very young when you were born, so you're not far behind. And I have been feeling that same heart cry coming from that generation. The busters are saying, hey, wait a minute. When I got to this age, this stage of the game, I expected to be here. And see, you can't see my hand gestures. Because this is an audio podcast, but my hand is like this, and then
uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that.
And then, but they're saying, I thought I was going to be here, and I'm only down here. I expected to be up here by now. I expected my life to look like this by now, but it doesn't. They feel like they're behind.
Yep.
And so they're starting to understand how the boomers feel. And the Lord gets it. The Lord is keeping his good word. Mm-hmm. And that's how revival's coming. Joshua and Caleb got to go first. They have to. They're the only ones that they've been to the promised land. They went with the 12 spies. They were not the majority. You know, the will of God cannot be overturned by a 2/3 majority vote. I don't care what the board says of any corporation. I think that was a pretty good joke.
Right. Yeah.
You cannot overturn the will of God.
No.
With a vote. There were 12 that went in, and 10 of them came back saying, we can't do it. And 2 of them came back saying, we are well able to take the land. And they even brought back the fruit to show what it looked like. They had tasted of it. They had seen it. They know what it looks like. They know how beautiful it is, and they know how to get there. The next generation can't go in without them. They don't know how to get there.
Oh.
They've heard the stories. Maybe they get to experience it in dreams, visions, whatever. But you don't know how to get there unless you go with Joshua and Caleb. And then pretty soon more people are going to know.
Mm-hmm.
That matters. The reason it matters... Well, first of all, it matters to God. It matters to me as a boomer. And I would like to say, just point out here, I'm on the young end of the boomers.
Okay.
I don't like it. That matters, okay? That matters
uh-huh.
So, the boomers have God's heart. They had a fire in their bones that I hadn't seen you've heard me say, who put the fire in the heart of this generation?
Yeah.
An idealistic generation that with a heart cry for kingdom justice and righteousness, they'd seen corruption by those that should have had their best interests at heart, their government, even their parents. It was a very abused generation, lied to, sent to what, you know, I don't want to get political, but it would appear that a lot of them were sent, well, I believe they were sent against their will, that the generation before that sent their children against their will to die in a war that was just not, it wasn't necessary. Okay, and I know I may get a little bit of flack about that, but you can, you know, write me an email at...
Or not. Oh,
at prophetsdwp at gmail.com. I may or may not read it on the air, depending on how nice you are.
Right.
Okay, so...
Well, the thing is, because you're talking about the boomers, and you started out, and you were talking about back in the 70s, because, you know, then there was a skip over mm-hmm. the 80s and then 90s and so on. Anyway, I just remember you saying, so in the 70s, it was like you'd put the rod in your head.
Yes.
And then do, because you were talking about practicing.
Yes.
And everything. Mm-hmm. And so then that kind of didn't happen for a while. But yeah. Now you're talking about, and as it relates to boomers, but now they're doing it again now.
Yes.
But it's like different. But or is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And thank you for, thanks for remembering that too. I have got my notes.
My pleasure.
You remembered it right off the top of your head. So my point is, all it did was intensify the heart cry of that generation for kingdom justice, and they didn't even know what that was. They were looking for social justice. They were looking for, I mean, and a lot of people took it to a wrong conclusion, and there was all the drugs and crazy stuff going on. But that was a wild generation that they were idealistic, and they wanted to see real change because they weren't willing to live in a hypocritical society, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Jesus movement broke out and people started getting saved, and we all became Jesus freaks. A bunch of hippies, Jesus freaks. And that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were met at the door when they finally started coming to church. I mean, they were having meetings out there and enjoying Jesus, and they were out on the streets doing the stuff. They were getting people saved all over the place. There was such an anointing for salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Charismatic movement was happening. People had the rod in their head, even if they didn't know it. They had the rod in their head, the rod of God, the rod of authority, the rod of their anointing. And then they were met at the church door by the spirit of religion, for the most part. There were some churches that weren't that way, but for the most part.
Yeah.
They were met at the door with, go home and cut your hair, guys, and women, put on a dress. And, I mean, legalism was waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, their hearts were so, they just loved God so much. They couldn't, they just thought everybody would love God that way too. So a lot of us were very surprised to get to church and find out that they wanted to get us saved all over again because we weren't dressed right, and try to whoop us into shape and get us to be quiet. I remember them actually telling me, oh, you know, That's real nice, sis, you know, like pat you on the head. You know, well, the good feelings will go away after a while. Well, I've been waiting all this time. They haven't gone away yet. They've only gotten stronger.
Right.
So I'm mm-hmm. sorry about you guys that their good feeling went away.
Mm-hmm.
They need to maybe get back on track.
Yeah.
Religion will do that to you. Make them think that maturity means... that they don't need all that wildfire.
Right.
Oh, man, what a crock.
No, it means that Jesus died to save you from your emotions.
That's so bad. That's so bad. And we actually heard people say that, too.
Right.
That's the sad part. Oh, my goodness. Only good emotions. You're only allowed to have good ones. Or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've already been down that road. and just and briefly say, if you only allow yourself to have good, what we would call good emotions, and I got air quotes going on here, then and you shut down anything that you would consider bad emotions or painful emotions or anything like that, then you just shut down everything, because you cannot shut down one without shutting down the other. They all come as a package. So if you don't want to feel any feelings at all, and just shut down the bad feelings, then you won't ever feel good feelings either.
That's right.
So I covered that a little bit more a few weeks ago. But it's true, and people need to know that. It's, yeah. You've got to face that pain with the Lord. And you got to let people face their pain. You don't tell them, you know, to get their act together, or what's wrong with you, or, man, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, and that's not how you do it, treating people that way. He loves them. He understands us. He created us the way he did, with the need to process. And we were created to live forever. So, that's why people grieve when someone dies. We were not, it does not compute to the human heart.
No.
Does not compute.
No, no.
When someone dies. Like, no. It's just absolutely, well, so to speak, rips your heart out. And people have to heal from that. And at their speed, everyone's individual. And you cannot give anyone like 12 steps of mountain moving faith like we used to do. You can't give them the 12 steps to how to be completely healed from someone passing away. Grief is grief, and that's what it is. And Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. They're blessed. If you want them to not mourn, you're telling them you don't want them to be blessed. I'm taking a rabbit trail. Did you notice?
I noticed.
It needs to be said, because there's a lot of people that are grieving, especially among the boomers, loved ones, and their parents, or whatever is going on in people's lives. A lot of grief going on, and they're trying to live their life and be happy Christians without feeling their feelings, and without acknowledging the impact, the utter impact of losing that loved one. And you cannot, you can't heal from it if you don't allow yourself to mourn, if you don't allow yourself to grieve. You can't feel any good feelings ever again, really, authentically, if you don't allow yourself to feel the deep grief, the deep pain, the deep unspeakable pain that people just try to avoid. They don't want to feel it. And see, it makes me want to cry, because so many people have so much pain. And Jesus is the only one that can heal that heart. And he's the only one that understands how long it takes for that person. And our job is to love them. Our job is to absolutely love people through whatever they have to go through, to find that authentic healing for themselves. And a lot of times, you know, I'm wary when someone, you know, comes to me and says, like, are you all healed up now from such and such? Because I've had them do it. I've had, like, 3 or 4 times, different situations. People say, oh, well, are you still grieving about that? Or, you know, when are you going to be done with that? I've literally had them ask me that.
Wow.
They have an agenda for you. They don't care about your heart.
Yeah, what they're saying is, are you all done so that you can do something for me now, please?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Or are you all done so that you can be the good Christian that you're supposed to be? Or, yeah. But it's usually a personal agenda, like you said.
Yeah.
They've usually got something they want you to do, and it's inconvenient for them if you're not able to do it right now. And that's just sinful, as far as I'm concerned. I do believe that Christians in general, just society in general, really needs to learn how to love and help people that are grieving, because it's all around them.
Yeah.
And people often are nervous. They don't know what to say. So they don't say anything at all, or they pretend it didn't happen, or they avoid that person, or whatever. They don't want to hear about it. And people need to understand, gosh, just to let someone know that you care makes all the difference in the world. Even if they don't know what to say, even they can't fix it, you can't fix it. Only God can fix it. But you can love someone and help God fix it. Love. God's love flowing through another human being can have such a profound impact on other people's lives. We got to realize that.
Yeah.
And who more than people that are grieving and mourning? It's not like they asked for it. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail that needed to be gone down. So if you know somebody out there, and I know you all do, everyone knows someone who's grieving. And very often, I'll even say to people, you know, so, wow, you just lost, you know, your father, like, you find out, like, 5 months ago or whatever it was. But that is kind of the case with Mike. Right at this recording right now, his father went home last summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mike is my husband. For those listening,
Mike Thompson.
Mike Thompson. His
which
his
Mike?
Prophet father went to heaven, and that was hard. And people don't realize, you know, what grief does to people, and it takes a while to get back on top. It takes a while. Everyone's different. And so I've talked to people, even recently, you know, like, oh, man, really? I didn't realize I had a loved one that died just so recently? Or even, I mean, it doesn't have to be that recent. People carry pain for a long time. And they just learn to live their lives with just keeping their mouths shut, because if they say anything, people try to fix them or correct them or whatever. Or worse yet, they ignore it entirely. And that's painful. I mean, mm-hmm. Believers need to know how to love. Just tell them, oh man, I'm so sorry. Give them a hug or whatever. Just tell them you care. Mm. And just bless them. Bless them. Right. Don't try to fix them. Don't give them advice. Just bless them.
So okay. Shouldn't try to give them all kinds of books on how to get better faster? Should I do that?
No. Don't tell them how to feel. Yeah.
Should I tell them?
Well, you should stop feeling bad.
Should I ask them how long and then
long
they think it's going to take? Is that what I should do?
Yeah. You do that, right? No. No.
No answers? Don't, no?
No. The answer's no. Yeah, I've had them ask me that, like, so how long is this going to last? Because, you know, we want you to come and, you know, lead worship. We're tired of this. Well, actually, I led worship a lot through my grief. It was hard. I couldn't always do it. Thank God, Brian, you were around. That's about the time you came to live in the town where we were.
Yeah,
and
sort of take over a little bit.
Yeah, because my brains were bye-bye for a while. And, people need to know this. So boomers are struggling because they want to fulfill their destiny. Their hearts long to fulfill their destiny. And then right in the midst of it, to have things like this happen. Like, Lord God, how? I even told the Lord that, you know, a few years ago. Okay, nobody else is dying now. No one's allowed to die for another. Give us at least 5-10 years here, Lord, because I don't know how many more of these I can take. But it just, you know, I was serious too. But
oh yeah,
He is able to get us through it. He's able to love people through it, and honestly, we come out on the other side with a much deeper more intimate understanding of our Heavenly Father and the kind of love of God that that really exists that we just didn't have any idea was available. How much He cares about the brokenhearted. That was the number one thing He said in Isaiah. Boy, I was just taking a completely different turn than I expected. Isaiah 61.
Heals the brokenhearted?
Yeah, I've got it right here. Am I amplified? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. Right up at the top of the list.
Right.
And it's a biggie. And it's also part of the glory of God coming on the earth at this time and the rod in the head. It really is. And the boomers are saying, what are you doing about us, Lord? What about us? And the Lord says, I haven't forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. And this is our time. And so at the end of the dream, I'm going to skip over some things here.
Okay.
The rod was developed over the years, and now the rods are coming back. And in the dream that I had, the Lord actually offered me the rod. And Mike and I prayed when I started to say when I got off the phone talking to Lord. No, when the dream was over, when the movie was over. So it seemed like when the dream was over, we prayed. We said, yes, Lord. And we symbolically put the rod in our head. We stuck it in our ear. We said, we're willing to commit to this. And let me read this to you. At first, okay, I'm just going to read this real quickly. So now that you kind of have an overview, you can understand better this. We had a device. This is the beginning of the dream. We had a device, a rod-like thing that we put in our ear. That we put in our ear. When done right and put all the way in, the rod made time stop. It opened another dimension that operated in conjunction and superimposed over this normal physical realm. Time did not exist there. And things looked different and fuller. You could see like 3D, 4D, whatever. You could see a completely different dimension superimposed over this natural world. We had to look at the clocks on the wall in order to see what time it was that other people had to live by. Because we weren't subject to time. There was no time. We weren't subject to it. At first, the devices were large and they glowed. Some of them glowed. They were awkward to use, and most people were afraid to use them. That's back when people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were afraid of the spiritual, supernatural things. A lot of them were. This is about the supernatural. Or people would just put them halfway in their head. They would feel some of the effect, and then they would remove it because it kind of scared them. Over time, the devices began to be streamlined, and they were smaller, and kind of like mine was like black and shiny. I don't know why. Black and shiny. In a cylinder rod, and it was much more effective. Everyone's is much more effective than it was back then.
So you mean they were smaller, like better technology?
Yeah,
better than back then.
Exactly. It's kind of okay, like somebody. It's like a computer. The laptop's evolving into smaller, more efficient designs
that were
more powerful. That kind
of
thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's how this anointing is operating. Mm-hmm. In this season, it's much more efficient and streamlined. And, I mean, God's got, I mean, he's got a world. This is going global. So he's got it under control here.
Right.
Okay, so in everybody's rod was different. They had different models that went along with their gifting. Okay. Did anybody notice that how slowly I'm talking? I don't mean to be talking this slow, but when the anointing is like this, it just, this happened to me last time too.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of used to it, so.
I'm not trying to be slow. It's just that anointing just slows you way down. I've watched Mike like preaching on all of a sudden that mantle come down on you and I'm saying on you because he's sitting in the studio here. I'm gonna let him talk in a minute. Honest. That it, I've seen him talk to and simply get slower and slower and grind to a halt, just because the anointing was so intense that he could hardly speak. And we just have to walk by and just let him lay hands on us as we go to receive that anointing. Anyway, everyone had access to a rod if they wanted it. Many people were afraid because it went in their ear and through the brain in order to activate and work. Eventually, these rods are developed in order to stay in so that you could live there in both realms. And that's the season we're in now. Now they're made in such a way, the Lord has, they're made. He's manufacturing them in such a way. Uh-huh. That when you say yes to the Lord and put the rod in your head, it is a permanent choice. After a certain amount of time, every person has the decision to make whether or not to commit to leaving that rod in their head, because once the decision and commitment is made, you can't undo it. It was sort of like after being in the ministry for 38 years together, the Lord gave me a dream and said, so now you guys sure? You want to be committed to this? Like, are you kidding? Is the Pope Catholic? Well, oh, I didn't really say that.
What's
to the Lord,
answer to that?
He didn't tell me.
Oh.
Some people wonder. I don't know why. Okay, I don't watch the news that much. So we said, absolutely. Lord, we didn't come this far so that we could say, no, we don't want to do this anymore. Or we didn't come this far to say, no, we would like to have just complacent, comfortable religion. We're not here for churchism. We're here to take the word of life to the nations, to preach the gospel to every creature. We're here to bring kingdom justice. We're here to bring life, to take as many people with us to heaven as possible. When they die, and even maybe a charter a bus and go up for a visit before that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, we're committed to this. And so that's what he was looking for. He was pleased. He was like, all right. So it expands. The rod expands how you perceive everything.
Sure.
It changes how you see everything. And Jesus, I mean, he operated with the rod in his head. He knew men's hearts. But he also didn't withhold ministry from them just because he knew their hearts. He still offered ministry. He ministered to Judas, even knowing he was going to betray him. He knew men's hearts. He could see.
Yes.
And I want to be like Jesus. It sounds like a song. I want to be like Jesus. Okay, so eternity superimposed over everything. Our limitations of time are no longer there. With the rod in our head, time means nothing. We are eternal. And in the midst of this dream, and I don't think I've ever said this part, we were preparing for a wedding.
Who was?
We were.
Who's we? Everybody?
Everybody.
Okay. Just trying to make sure I follow you.
Yeah, that's a good question. This whole sense of, you know, here's your rod. It was like in the backdrop, the background, we were preparing for a wedding. Wedding preparations were happening. So everybody had to get their rod.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something strange?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's so good. You know, it's the glory of the Lord to hide a matter and the glory of kings to seek it out.
I've heard this.
We are kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing about operating in prophetic
yep.
things.
In fact, we just have a few minutes left and really.
Whoa.
I'm not lying. So is there anything else? Any final thoughts you had? I'll go ahead and just let you go for it.
I've got final thoughts out the wazoo.
Go for it.
Can I just, I want Mike to speak. We can take a Mike Thompson to speak for just a few minutes, but quickly going to share with you the dream that I tried to share last Sunday. If anybody watched that YouTube video, you'll notice that I got so drunk in the spirit that I could not deliver the message and just makes me laugh to think about it. So if you want to see what it looks like when I get really drunk in the spirit, go check out, what was the date on that? November 29. I think we actually posted it on the 30th. That's our YouTube. Actually, go to wordoflifeworldoutreach.org/iChurch.
Yeah.
And it'll be on there. And I tried to share a dream.
Okay.
The key to revival.
Oh.
Am I trying to cram too much here?
The key to revival? Oh, you're going to start the key to revival?
Well, I just wanted to share just one thing from this that goes along with the rod in the head.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And what's that?
The church world has, you know, the Lord was talking to me about, in general, we have done believers quite a disservice by not teaching them how to interact with heaven. And I'm not saying that as a condemning thing, but we've taught all about demons and how to recognize when it's the devil and you know how to rebuke the devil and all of that, which is, you know, you got to know how to, you know, rebuke the devil. But to the point where when an angel shows up in your kitchen, you just about pass out. It shouldn't be. We should be more accustomed to operating and interacting with angels and heavenly things than rebuking the devil all the time.
Oh, yeah.
There's been so much fear.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So, I was looking at this real quick just to see if there's anything I could share. That's the thing about the rod. You're seeing into the heavenlies. He's superimposing heaven over the natural realm because he wants us to know and be skilled in operating in heavenly things here on this earth.
Uh-huh.
On earth as it is in heaven.
There you go.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And that interaction with heaven, he told me, that is the key to revival. The key to revival. If you want to call it awakening, if you want to call it, what do they call it? Restoration, all kinds of quibbling over terminologies. And as I said Sunday, I heard a minister years ago saying, people say, well, they're going to argue over, are they possessed or are they just oppressed or are they depressed or what, you know. I don't care if the devil's following them around in a little red wagon. Get them delivered. Mm-hmm. So forget the semantics.
Right.
The key to revival is hosting and carrying the glory and the anointing and manifestation of heaven in our lives and allowing people to interact with heaven. Because when we provide an atmosphere, and he said it's according to the level of the anointing that you are allowing in your own life, the more that you allow the Lord to expand your interaction with heaven, you provide that atmosphere, like for us in our services, where people, the people can interact with heaven too, on that level of anointing. And that's what revival is about. They are interacting with heaven. They're interacting with God. That's the key. All we do is allow God to do it. People say, we want God to just show up and show off. Well, he can only show up to the extent that you'll let him. And if we haven't learned these things ourselves, how can we open it up so others can? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me.
Okay. So, rod in the head and... And it's in the word. Put on the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he subjected himself to the death on the cross. He was willing to obey God. He didn't think he was too good to do that, because of the joy on the other side. For us, we need to be willing to do that for others.
That's good. All right.
So, Mike Thompson is in the studio, and he's been patiently waiting while I'm trying not to grind to a halt as I talk. Would you share with us briefly the third heaven encounters that you've had recently? What springs to mind?
Well, actually, in listening to you, CK, and Brian, good job, by the way, I was reminded of a story that I'd like to share. Just a few minutes.
Okay.
About you can't swing a cat without hitting an angel.
Uh-huh.
About the grieving process, about how much the Lord loves us, all of that, is that, as you mentioned, that when my father passed away about 5 months ago, the night before the funeral, the Lord gave me a vision.
Wow.
And we were there in the motel room. You were getting ready for bed. I was praying in tongues, just worshiping the Lord. And suddenly I had a vision, and I saw Dad. And I'm going to be honest with you, I am not 100% sure that it was Dad himself. I think it was. But there was also a question in the back of my mind as to whether it might have been his angel. But I saw Dad in heaven. That was the setting, heaven. Wow. And I saw him standing there watching us. And that reminded me of just kind of that one story about all the things that you went through in the podcast today. God loves us so much, and he cares. Yeah. He was willing to give me that vision, to show me my father, so that not only it would comfort my heart, but I could share it with you, with the rest of the family, my siblings and others. And it was a very precious time. God yes. cares. Heaven is real.
Yes.
And heaven is interacting with earth, with us.
Yes.
And he cares about all of those things, and the angels are there.
And the cloud of witnesses, they're cheering us on.
Yes.
Your dad is part of the cloud of witnesses. Mm-hmm.
He was watching us.
Yeah. They are cheering you on into your destiny. Everybody listening to my voice right now, I mean, you have such a powerful destiny, and God's cheering you on, but you got a whole cloud of witnesses cheering you on. You got your family members that are there cheering you on. They believe in you. They know you can do it. In fact, mm-hmm. they're cheering you on so that you'll do what they didn't do.
Yes.
A lot of them have, you know, Jesus had to wipe some tears away because they didn't do, you know, what they could have done, should have done, and didn't realize they could have done. Like I've talked about that V8 moment when you get before the throne of God, uh-huh. like, what I could have done.
Yes.
Some of them had some regret, mm-hmm. some tears, and they're cheering you on and saying, you do it. You can do it. Generational yes. blessings.
That cloud of witnesses is right there cheering us on.
Yes.
And then the angelic host
yeah.
is helping us
mm-hmm.
carry it on.
Yeah. They're helping us carry it out. They're helping
yeah,
us do
right.
it. They're helping us.
Yes.
And yeah, you can't not. I love that. It's going through my head all week. I've been chuckling on it. You can't swing a cat without hitting an angel. I'm not sure why we're swinging a cat, but I just thought it sounded funny. There are so many. People say, well, I saw an angel. Like there's one. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they know like basically all the names, rank and file of the devil and all his cohorts. Get to know these angels.
Right.
It's okay to talk. Now, don't ever pray to an angel. We were always taught, don't pray to an angel. Of course. We understand that. We don't pray to angels.
Correct.
But don't be afraid to talk. You're not afraid to talk to the devil. Tell him to leave. You can, you know, when angels show up, find out why.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them.
Sure. That's right. And it's interesting to me that in the book of Acts, I had noticed a number of times that the Bible talks about how that the Holy Spirit accomplished something, but then when it was describing it in the narrative, it mentioned an angel. So the angels yeah. and the Holy Spirit, and the way that it all flows, the Holy Spirit's in charge. So we don't take anything away from the Holy Spirit. We don't take anything away from Jesus, who is administrating that with the Holy Spirit through when we recognize the ministry and the functions of those angels.
Yes.
It's all in the kingdom.
It's
all God.
It is. It's all God. It's amazing. It's such an honor to be in this generation and part of what God's doing in the earth. And actually, in order to do it effectively, we have to know how to interact. We need to learn.
That's right.
How to interact with heaven and with angels and do what we're called to do. They hearken to the voice of his word. So keep the word of God in your vocabulary and they'll accomplish it. That's
they're flames of fire.
Could you share that
the
briefly?
Power of God.
What you saw in that. You've seen it more than once in that warfare when the angels, the sword in your mouth with the assignment. I'm telling
sure.
it for you.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one.
Yeah, I will. Been a number of years ago. Boy, we've had a lot of visions and revelations, all this interaction you're talking about. But in this one, I'd been praying for quite a while, just my prayer time before the Lord, and I had a vision. And in the vision, he'd raised me up and over the city that we lived in. And I could see just a host, a lot of angels just moving around over the city. And again, this was a vision, just the way that the Lord was revealing this revelation to me. And I could see down below the believers, those who were Christians. And when they were just normal talking, words were coming out of their mouths. You could hear the words. They were talking about the weather. They were talking about finances, just, you know, family affairs, normal stuff. But every time that they spoke the word or prayed in the name of Jesus and used their faith, a sword would come out of their mouth instead of the words. And on the side of the sword would be written the assignment of what they were praying about. And then suddenly one of those angels from up above would just swoop down and grab the handle of the sword and then just follow it to carry out the assignment.
Oh, wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So all this activity around us, can't swing a cat without hitting it.
That's right.
Poor cat.
And we could maybe say that the activity of angels is increasing. And that may be so, probably so.
I think another thing too,
though, CK, is that I think what's happening is that the veil's being lifted. We're in a day and an hour where that veil, so to speak, between the natural and the spiritual realm it's being lifted, and there are many more of those encounters being witnessed.
Yes.
By us.
Yes. That's true.
Super cool.
And the Lord showed me the angels that had been held in reserve for this season because of the harvest that's coming. There's angels, and you see it all in the book of Revelation, of how they're, you know, like these angels are waiting for such and such, and then they do it. There are angels that were dispatched into the earth a few years back and following us around for a while just to get to know how we operate. And then they started interacting with us.
Yes.
Because that's their job, is to interact. They had to watch us. I was running into watcher angels when that first started. That's when the Lord told me about it. Like, what's going on here? Because I would be walking and just turn around and like, bang. Literally, walk into something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that was strange. But then when he told me, like, okay, they're following us around. He didn't know. At first, they didn't know that I pace sometimes when I pray or when I, you know, asking mm-hmm. the Lord stuff. He didn't know, that angel. Now he does.
Right.
Are there things like, I know, people love to hear these things.
They do. We're going to have to do a lot more.
The silver bullet. I've got to tell them the silver bullet.
Tell them.
This was before we moved to Las Vegas. See, a lot of the angels are messenger angels. I woke up one day and there was I was used to seeing angels by the bed when I'd wake up. In fact, there's an angel that turns the pages in my Bible. To this day, it's been going on for probably 15 years. And I woke up one day and there was what appeared to be a silver bullet standing beside the bed that was like taller than the house. This is huge, shiny.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, an arm reached out with a note in it and handed it to me. And so I took the note, and I don't even remember what happened to the silver bullet. I think it just disappeared. It didn't shoot. It just mm-hmm. disappeared. And I quickly texted Kathy Walters and said, this thing was beside the bed. I just wanted to know if she'd ever seen anything like it, you know, like, what on earth was that? And she didn't say anything about that. She just said, well, what did the note say? Well, I don't know. I didn't read it. I felt really silly.
I remember
silly.
That day.
You remember that? Well, the Lord told me later those were our marching orders, that it was time to go. I didn't realize that. But the silver bullet, let me explain, that was his armor. The angel didn't have like armor like we have, like where you put your arm through the armhole and this. He was just surrounded by one seamless shield that was like a cylinder around him, and he was inside and it went up over the top of him and it looked like a bullet. His armor. Huh. So on that note, I do want to thank our listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And I really hope this is a blessing. I pray it's a blessing to your life. I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know how much God loves you and how precious you are to Him. And He'll move heaven and earth to keep His word to you and call on the name of the Lord. I want you to know, he wants you. He wants you. He's not willing to let you go. There's no sin that you could have committed that could separate you from the love of God. Just repent of it and allow him to love you. And I'm not sure who that was for, but that was for someone. Whoever that was, you received that because God wants you. He wants you back. He loves you. And he wants to bless you with a rod in your head. He wants to bless you with heavenly interaction. You are not excluded. No one is left out. And I bless you in the name of Jesus.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks, everyone.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.